Midlands today with Tullamore Motors. The all-new Renault Zoe. Live the easy electric life. TullamoreMotors.ie. When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
Well, good morning, and it's going to be a spectacular week weather-wise. Looking forward to the temperatures climbing, to the sun shining. And I hope you're all recovered from the fla. Did you go to Mullingar and meet Niall Horan and Lewis Capaldi over the weekend? The atmosphere was just electric. It was brilliant, and well done to Joe Kinnair and Willie Penrose and Bernie McHugh and all of the voluntary committee who put together a marvellous event and attracted 500,000 people to the Midlands. Bula bus, and well done. Now, coming up today, a pilot and a County Waterford man have been remanded in custody after €8.4 million of cocaine was seized after allegedly being flown into the Midlands last week. A massive, massive seizure. Sport, we recap with David Hollywood all that happened over the weekend, especially in club action. And on That's Life with Brian Cunningham after 11. Martin King, everybody's favourite weatherman. Does he even still read the weather, actually, these days? He's going to join us after 11 on That's Life. 9:15, when you call, 0818 300 103 is my number. You can text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103, powered by Land Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. Mark Zuckerberg is facing a big fine. He's going to be broke. Far from it, actually. But Facebook is getting its third large fine from the Irish Data Protection Commissioner. This is the main story on the Irish Times this morning. Previously, the company was fined €225 million over breaches relating to WhatsApp. This one also involves its Instagram service, email addresses, and so on and so forth. Very familiar story to Facebook. This is just a slap on the wrist. It's a company that's worth over $100 billion. So a fine of a couple of million? Nah, not going to change their practices. The main story on the front of the Irish Independent: sales of million-euro homes explode in the first half of the year. Now, let's put a big asterisk beside that one. In Dublin and in Wicklow, there are no million-euro homes changing hands in Laois or Offaly or Westmeath this year. Although, actually, there were some expensive property transactions in Laois last year, which I presume would be Abbey Leake's estate, which was purchased by one of the Collison brothers of Stripe fame. But otherwise, what it's saying is that in Dublin, the number of property deals worth more than €1 million has soared 44%, while in Wicklow, they're up 78%. Well, in Wicklow, you get all of the beautiful views, and I suppose it's still in close proximity to Dublin, and anyway, it's out of reach of most ordinary people, that is for sure. Lured to his death, says the Star on its front page as it describes how a young man was found dead in his Dublin flat where he may have lain for days. And say, cops quiz man over drug debt shooting, it says. Now, what have we got for you locally? Unfortunately, tragedy. A special guard of honour is expected at the joint funeral of a brother and sister who died at Ballybunion last week. Desmond Desi Byrne, just 52 years of age, now living in Lacaro and originally from Athlone. He died alongside his sister Muriel. She was based in Sweden but was on a holiday back to see her younger brother when tragedy struck. And so Mr. Byrne's remains will be taken to St. John's Church in Lacaro tomorrow morning for a joint Requiem Mass, but there will be a special guard of honour by sporting and community groups in the area where he was very well regarded. The price of summer camps. How much are you paying to keep the kids entertained while school is out? Because according to the Irish Independent, there are some summer camps charging €3,000. Actually, I'll correct myself. It says on average. So therefore, there are some summer camps charging more than €3,000. Hardly. Where would you get the money? And especially if you had more than one child. And what do they do on these summer camps to justify the price tag? According to the paper, it's nothing special. It's all of the usual games and so on. No fancy trips away. Again, I imagine there's an element of Dublin pricing in there rather than any local pricing. The treatment of a bereaved family by Aer Lingus is covered in the Irish Times this morning. And this one is a really, really shocking and low blow. So a lady was in Ireland, having travelled from the US with her husband and her children last month. They were celebrating the birthday of a family member in the west of Ireland, and they flew with Aer Lingus. And shortly after arriving home, this woman's husband died in an accident. So there was no birthday being marked, there was a funeral instead. So the woman and her children were due to go back to the US late last week. Her father was travelling with them to support her, to support the children. And Aer Lingus told her that they could not transfer the ticket that was in her late husband's name into her father's name. And instead, he would have to buy a ticket at premium prices. And they were well aware that the seat beside her would be empty. So it wasn't as if they had to sell it on again. Now, once the paper contacted Aer Lingus, there was a complete U-turn, and they said, "We sincerely apologise to the customer for this error. It has been rectified. She has received her amended booking, and we send our deepest condolences to the family." But only for the fact she got a national newspaper involved, the position was, "Sorry, you've got to buy a new ticket." Very, very callous. Bad form, Aer Lingus. Wind energy has supplied a third of Ireland's power this year. According to the journal.ie this morning, it accounted for 21% of the country's electric power last month. But when you take the windier winter and spring season into account, it's now providing a third of our energy. And they are getting far more per megawatt than was expected. And therefore, we're paying all the more for it as well. When you consider that much of the turbulence in energy prices is down to gas and oil and the volatility associated with Russia, if our wind energy is providing more and more power, you'd imagine that would offset some of that. But it doesn't seem to work that way, does it? Great news for people at Abbey Leaks Bog. The Minister for Heritage, Malcolm Noonan, has approved €75,000 to be used for peatland restoration measures. The bog spans 500 acres and it has become a great tourist attraction and is actually one of those case studies that other communities can follow. So €75,000 is going to make a big difference there. We'll be finding out over the course of the programme exactly what they'll be spending it on. If you've had COVID-19, you've heard of long COVID, no doubt. But Dr. Muirish Houston introduces a new idea in the Irish Times this morning. He calls it mid-COVID. So you know what acute COVID is. You've got the shortness of breath and the fever and so on. That's at the time it infects you. And then afterwards, long COVID tends to bring on the fatigue and bring on the aches and the pains and can be quite debilitating in some, and others show no ill effects at all. So what now is mid-COVID? So he describes symptoms that wax and wane but are never completely resolved. Cough, that is quite annoying one day, less bothersome the next. Breathlessness that comes and goes. Mobile pain. In other words, it affects one group of muscles today, then maybe a different group of muscles tomorrow, and then the next day it's gone, and then by the end of the week it's back again. And he says taste figures highly in mid-COVID symptoms. So his argument is we really need to research more about this COVID that comes and goes. So it's a virus that we've only known about for a little over 2 years, and we keep learning every day, it seems. The big celebrity story of the day will be Ryan Giggs going on trial. The former Man United footballer is accused of assaulting and controlling his ex-girlfriend. He pleads guilty. Pleads not guilty to all charges. And this one is going to continue probably for a couple of weeks. And is going to occupy all of the tabloid newspapers. And, well, the essence of it is he's charged with assaulting and controlling Kate Greville between August of 2017, November of 2020, causing her actual bodily harm. And he's also accused of the common assault of her younger sister, Emma Greville. So it's going to be a murky and unsavoury couple of days, really. Watch that one. And we'll have coverage here on Midlands 103. But again, pleads not guilty to all charges. Weather-wise, very pleasant week in store. Kicking off with temperatures in the low 20s. And it's going to be pretty sunny but a bit hazy today. As we move further into the week, temperatures will climb to 26 degrees by Wednesday, 27 on Thursday. And as we get towards the weekend, Met Éireann is talking about 30 degree temperatures. So enjoy. And if you've any nice plans, and if you're planning an event perhaps that we need to talk about, pick up that phone and call 0818 300 103. Or indeed text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103. Monday morning across the Midlands, the Monday after the Fla. And I hope you enjoyed Mullingar. I hope you got to sample what was a terrific atmosphere. Niall Horan did. It even brought Lewis Capaldi over the weekend. So let's catch up with one of probably the most exhausted men in the Midlands, Joe Kinnear, the Cathaoirleach of the FLA Executive Committee in Mullingar. Joe, how are you feeling?
Not too bad. A bit tired now this morning, Will. But just a huge, spectacular week had by all, I think, in Mullingar. I've had no complaints, all positive reaction from the whole event in Mullingar and sure, look, everyone, 1,000 people asked me yesterday, what about next year? And I said, look, we'll regroup and see where that goes. That is being announced on the 3rd of September.
Well, everybody's crossing their fingers and their toes, and there's a working assumption, at least, that it's coming back to Mullingar. Not necessarily a done deal, though.
No, look, there's two other towns or places in Ireland bidding for it, as well as us, Wexford and Belfast. But look, as Laura Samorku said last night and said a few times, we're ahead in the race, basically.
Well, let's take that and we'll cross our fingers for September. Looking back, though, over the last week, and you've had a long time to prepare and many false dawns because of COVID. Did it work as you expected? What would you learn from it?
Absolutely. Well, look, I'd say that a couple of years preparation did us the world of good, because everyone, and I mean everyone, there hasn't been one negative comment walking the streets of Mullingar. The attention to detail, like people were saying, the best organised lad they were ever at. Please bring it back to Mullingar for the next couple of years. But look, we've a great volunteer committee and we put our shoulders to the wheel. We had meetings, you know, couple of meetings every night. Monday night was our main night that we met, but we had a very professional volunteer committee, and that's the key to success. Good people behind you and doing great work, and the work of the volunteers, the work of the local authority, and you know, everyone. I suppose the weather helped us as well, which is a great bonus. And the music, the song, the dance, the Irish, you know, there was a bit for everyone there, and a lot of people that hadn't been to Mullingar, say, for ever before, said the wide streets were beautiful. You could, even though the crowds were huge, you could kind of walk through without any issue. And I have to say, I didn't see one incident on the town for the full event. And, you know, the Gardaí and everyone was rowing in and having the fun with everybody, which was great to see. It was just an amazing event.
I saw a picture of you over the weekend. I think you were at a traffic barrier. Did you sample much of the music yourself, or were you working all through?
Yeah, well, look, I was working basically the start of the week non-stop, you know, trying to make sure everything was in place. But from Thursday night on, I said, I put my work in and I'm going to switch off and enjoy the flan. I had many street sessions and played on the gig rig and, you know, did interviews. And look, that's, I had to savour the atmosphere, because, as I said, as an awards night on Wednesday, I said that the flan will go by in a heartbeat. And look, it's over and done with now. I know there'll be great street sessions in Mullingar this morning, because the Monday after is a wind down for a lot of musicians. And look, it's a regroup now with the committee, and we'll look at the whole aspect of it, and we'll do a report on it. And sure, look, we'll see where that takes us, you know.
So today's an unofficial ninth day for some. Long may it continue.
Yes.
The FLA drew people from all over the world. We were chatting to Liam Gilleran, and he said somebody dropped into the pub from New Mexico last week. Did you meet anybody from far-flung places?
Absolutely. Well, look, one area of the FLA that I wouldn't have gone to in the past was the overseas concert. But I was there this year in the Park Hotel, and it's a concert that I would recommend as many people to go to in the future, because the standard of music from the people overseas, and I'm on to mention Patrick Morrison, who kind of deals with the diaspora people in the traditional world. He did a great job in putting on that concert, and musicians from Argentina, Japan, Scotland, England, you know, North America, the standard was just so good. It was great.
Well, there was a picture on social media early Saturday morning of a local man and a blow-in walking around. A chap by the name of Capaldi from Scotland, may have heard of him.
Yeah.
And local man, not very well known, Niall Horan.
Yeah.
Well, did you bump into them at all?
No, I didn't. And I'm not too pushed in bumping into them. Look, best of luck to them. They're welcome back to Mullingar any time. But no, I didn't see them. And I was all about the traditional side of things. And look, if Niall was using it as a crowd puller, fair play to him. But no, I didn't see him.
And I think he had cameras in tow as well. So look, more positive coverage for the FLA. And we cross our fingers, as I said, for September. But Joe, thank you for this year. Thank you to the entire committee. It was a wonderful week, perfectly executed. Yeah. And we hope it will be back again in 2023.
Yeah, and thanks to yourselves for covering the event. And look, we appreciate all the coverage we got. And without yourselves, the event can't run proper either. So we appreciate that.
It was our pleasure, Joe. Our pleasure.
Yep.
Cheers. Take care. Take care. Joe Kinnear is the Cathaoirleach of the FLA Executive Committee in Mullingar. Now, I mentioned Mr. Horan and Mr. Capaldi, and they were doing the rounds on Saturday morning. And I believe Dominique from Whelan's Pharmacy in Mullingar, managed to sneak up quite close to the gentleman. Morning, Dominique. How are you?
Good morning, Will. How are you?
I'm in great form. I suspect I wasn't in as good of a form as you were, though, over the weekend.
Oh, sure, and still on a high.
So how did it happen?
Oh, it was amazing. We were working here in Whelan's just that morning, and next minute somebody came in and said, oh, I think Lewis Capaldi and Niall Horan are across the road. So we were like, gone. We were gone. So,
did you ask Eamon for permission, Eamon Brady, the owner?
He's a sound boss, so he's sound, so I know he didn't mind. but we ran across the road and we saw kind of, now the crowds weren't too bad, you were able to kind of slip through, you know, and they were getting their hair done. And yeah, so I took the phone out and I was videoing Niall, and he's such a gentleman, like he's so lovely. You know, just posing for everybody and stopping, and it was great. Mm. And then
did they have much of an entourage? Was there much security there?
There was, yeah, there was a good bit of security, but like they were sound as well. Like once you kind of didn't get too much up in their face, if that makes sense, they were sound. But yeah, and Lewis was a dose, you know, he was feeling the effects of the day or the night before.
Like, oh,
so,
so they had a bit of a session, the boys.
Oh, they had a session, yeah. Yeah, but sure, you're in Ireland, it'd be rude not to.
Well,
you
true,
know?
True, absolutely.
But yeah, no, everything was just amazing. They were so lovely, you know, we're so proud of Niall, and the fact, you know, he's from the town, and being a native myself from the town, it's lovely, you know, and he's brought so much to the town too. And just even to see Lewis Capaldi, it was like a little bit starstruck. So when I was trying to take a photo, I kind of got a little bit frazzled.
Oh, you had the shakes, did you?
Oh, I had the shakes, yeah. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And then Lewis just grabbed my phone and was like, look, I'll do it. Thank you.
Oh, no.
I have to go back to work, like, you know. But yeah, no, it was amazing. It was great for the town. And the Fla has just been, you know, just it's brought so much attention.
Mm, positive attention, yes.
Yeah, and positive, absolutely positive attention. And I'm just so happy that everything went off so well.
And did you sample any of the traditional music? Or was it all about Niall and Lewis?
I did. I went down there yesterday. So we kind of did laps of the town and ate out and had a few drinkies. And I can't tell my boss that. I'm joking. But we did. We had a great time. So,
Dominique, enjoy the good form.
Lovely.
And thanks for sharing.
I win.
Yes.
I keep going.
Good stuff. Dominique Matthews from Whelehan's Pharmacy in Mullingar. Jackie would like to extend a huge well done to Joe Kinnair and all the committee who organised the FLA. It was very well put together. The best week ever in Mullingar. Great crack, great buzz around the town, and fingers crossed it'll be back next year, she says. Ina adds her praise to that. Well done, Joe, and all the committee. Fantastic, and we will miss it. And Annie in Edenderry just wants to say good morning. And everybody, have an amazing day. That's spreading the smiles, Annie. Thank you very much. Now, speaking of the FLA, and there was a sad note. We were talking about the people who were there, the Lewis Capaldis and the Niall Horans and so on. But one lady very much missed by her absence as tributes were paid to Aisling Murphy. The 23-year-old, as you know, was killed while out for a run in Tullamore last January. She was a regular face at the event. And her parents, Ray and Kathleen, along with her sister, Amy, recalled on TG Cahir over the weekend how Aisling would have filled the house with music and would have been at the FLA itself.
One of the biggest losses for me is, of course, losing my youngest girl. But on a Saturday, I'd come in with we farm here, and we'd be always busy because we work during the week, so we'd have always a few jobs we'd done on a Saturday. So, Kathleen had done already about one or half one, and we come in, and I would sit into that chair there after him, and Aisling would be inside the front room, and there'd be music going, hygiene, and she'd have lessons going, we'd be doing whistle or a violin, but mostly fiddle. And he sitting there, and I'd listen to them for maybe a half an hour while I was drinking a cup of tea after dinner. And that was such, it's lovely to hear that. That's gone now. None of it anymore, you know.
She loved everyone. And she had so much to give to the world.
When Aisling passed away, the support we have had from our branch is just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Sometimes you didn't even have to ask. It's like they could read our minds. I don't know if there's words to thank them. There really isn't.
It's a huge void.
Shocking.
Huge void.
So it is. Well, life will go on. We'll have to stay going. We celebrate all the good times we had. We had a lot of good times. But she had so much. She had so much more to give to everyone. Like what she done in her short 23 years. Had she another 23 years, what would she have achieved?
Yeah.
You know, and that's, that's our terrible loss, you know. And I can say no more than that.
And that's Ray and Kathleen and Amy speaking to T.G. Cahir. And our thanks to them for hearing that interview. Now, coming up on 10 to 10.
When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner. Midlands 103.
You can do a lot with €75,000, but if you're a community project, what exactly could you put the money to good use with? Well, Abbey Leaks Bog in County Laois is to receive that much money after the Minister for Heritage, Malcolm Noonan, confirmed the funding over the weekend. Let's find out now what the plan is. Chris Ace is a volunteer at Abbey Leaks Bog. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Will. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And I imagine a lot of listeners will have been there and they'll have seen what you've done with the 500 acres, how it has been restored. But just for anybody who is unfamiliar with Abbey Leaks Bog, can you describe it for us?
Well, just to clarify, restoration, we will never be able to fully restore the place. But what has been happening the last 20 years is that the community has taken hold of management of the whole project with the kind help of the Bodnam owner, who given us a 50-year lease agreement on the site. And the last 10, 12 years, we've been embarking on a project where we actually rehabilitate the site, where we actually block drains, where we look after the place to enhance biodiversity, also to make it climate proof for the future. So what this round of, in 2009, there was drain blocking by the Department of, or by National Parks and Wildlife Services. They made money available at the time, just after we signed the contract. And that money has proved to be very good. Over the last 11 years, we've had a 1,250% increase in the active raised bog on the center part of the bog, which is 50% of it. Now, this phase is basically to upgrade and rehabilitate the cutaway areas around the bog, which is all part of the whole ecosystem. So what we will be doing is to block old drains, and also this money will go towards the first phase of some enhanced rehabilitation work, where we think we can actually stimulate sphagnum growth, which is the moss that actually is the building block for peatlands. And this is where the money will be going to, the first phase.
So blocking the drains and re-wetting is part of the process, and then stimulating the growth. How do you do that?
Basically, just block the drains.
And wait and watch, is it?
Basically, the water table then comes back to the surface if the blocking and the drain works. The blocking of the drains and the work that has been done is correct, then the surface of the water comes back to the surface of the soil, and that rewets the place. It creates the conditions for certain plants to grow, and it actually immediately brings down the carbon emissions from the site.
How long will it take for the bog to reach a water level sufficient for the growth of that moss?
That is basically immediately within the first year or two, you have the level settle very quickly, unless there's a leak or there's something that we didn't know about the hydrology of the place. But that is why we've engaged with professionals, all the people with the experts on our technical advisory group, who helped develop this plan over the last 3-4 years and made sure that we do hydrological assessments. We did also ecological assessments, and we tried to understand the site and the dynamics of the site. And based on that, a plan was developed. But if you block drains and you do rehabilitation work, the water table levels immediately stabilize.
So top priority is rehabilitation. But also the site has become a tourist attraction of sorts, in that there's a boardwalk, people can enjoy a little bit of quiet space, and to some extent you become a victim of your own success. The more the word spreads that Abbey Leaks Bog is something to see, you also want to preserve it. Can you do both?
We can do both. The priority is conservation work. That is what we do. The secondary objective is to create an amenity where we can have people come for some recreation. We also have education, we also have research, also other activities that takes place. But everything that we do other than a conservation is subject to the conservation objectives. And yes, we can do it. It does take a bit of strain, sometimes the maintenance of paths and stuff, but we try to confine people to certain areas of the site and not to go everywhere on the site.
Well, we wish you the best in this next phase, and thank you very much for taking our call, Chris.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Chris Ace from Abbey Leaks Bog. He's a volunteer there. And lots of praise, by the way, still coming in to the volunteers who organised Fla Ciol na Héireann 2022. With, let's just add Teresa's name to the list. She says every day she watched it. The first person, though, in her mind was Aisling Murphy, and she kept thinking how she would have loved to be at the Fla with her beloved music. And a very hard week, therefore, on her friends and on her family. And indeed, you heard a little earlier from her family on that, and it's very, very raw still for them. 083 30 10 103 on text and WhatsApp. Lots of messages of praise still coming in for Fla Ciol na Héireann, for instance. Bernie Mulligan says, it was a purely magical week, and congratulations to Joe Kinnair, the committee, the Gorthy, the volunteers, the musicians, everybody who made the Fla such a success. Here's to 2023. Well, fingers crossed, Bernie, fingers crossed. She says Mullingar deserves a second year. And well, we'll know in a month's time. And hopefully, the answer is yes. Now, all we can predict weather-wise is about a week in advance, a week to 10 days, and it's all looking good. Joanna Donnelly is here from Met Air. And good morning, Joanna.
Good morning.
Very sunny start in some parts to Monday morning. A little hazy sunshine in other areas. But we'd better get used to this. Tell us.
Yeah, good sunshine for the week ahead. There was a little mist overnight last night, because last night it was still a chilly night. It'll probably be chilly again tonight, so it'll probably be misty again in the morning, but the sun is quickly burning that off. And then it's going, that those cold nights are going to disappear as well, because it's going to actually get warm overnight too, from about Wednesday, Thursday onwards. It's just going to get warmer and warmer, high pressure sitting over us. Sun shining down, and it's just going to get increasingly warm now over the next few days.
So what's going on meteorologically to create such warm conditions?
High pressure. So when we have low pressure air rising and condensing and making clouds, and high pressure is going the other way, so the air is descending down on top of it. That fizzles out all the cloud, allows the sun to get access to the air. That's what heats the ground, and then the ground heats us. So it's not the sun heating the air. The sun is heating the ground is heating us. And when we're standing in the sun, of course, the sun is shining directly onto us, we feel even hotter. So the air is going to get increasingly warm over the next few days. That's high pressure, light winds, clear skies, warm weather.
So nighttime, you mentioned at the moment it's kind of fresh. Will it be that sticky, heavy, muggy kind of heat?
Yeah, so what's going to happen is we've got this cool air mass over us at the moment, and it's warming up. But then additional to that, we've got a moving air mass coming up from the south that's going to bring additional heat. And that air mass has warm nighttime temperatures. So the nighttime temperatures from about Wednesday onwards are going to see those increasing. They're not going to drop at night the way they are at the moment. Last night it got down to about 6 degrees. From about Thursday onwards, we'll be looking at temperatures in around 15 degrees overnight. And that's a little bit more than we're used to here, that more than we're acclimatized to. So really from the next few days onwards, you really want to be keeping your bedroom with curtains closed during the day to keep that sun and to keep the heat out of your sleeping quarters.
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes when we've this heavy heat, it can be associated with thunderstorm activity. Is there any risk of that?
At the moment, no, because it's descending air. As I said, it's high pressure, so air is descending. So we're not looking at any rising air. You need the rising air to make the thunderstorms happen. So at the moment, we're not looking at thunderstorm risks.
Okay, so very settled picture, getting incrementally warmer through the week. And how long is it likely to last, Joanna?
Well, at the moment, we're out to the weekend. So we don't hold anything back. We're not keeping any secrets. After next weekend, it starts to become a little less certain as to what's happening in the wider picture, in the broader scale. So there could be a little element of uncertainty starting after the weekend. So we'll take it out to the weekend at the moment, and then we'll keep an eye on how things are progressing after that.
Right, but safe enough to stock up on some barbecue equipment and food and wine and try and sit out in the back garden, get some nice plans together.
With your sunblock on, don't forget.
Oh, yes.
It's still sunny out there, that the sun will still burn you. So take a little bit of precautions. You don't want to spoil it all with the doom and gloom talk, but at the same time, take your care, take precautions. And if you're out on the water, of course, particularly out on those SUP boards, that, I mean, I love my SUP board myself, but if you're out in the water, wear your vest. We know all about the dangers of being at sea. So do put a vest on if you're going out at sea.
No, good woman. Wise words. Appreciate the good news, though. Joanna, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Joanna Donnelly from Met Éireann. Still to discuss how Gardaí monitored a Cessna single-engined aircraft in the Midlands last Thursday evening, and following that intercepted €8.4 million of cocaine. A Polish pilot and another man have been remanded in custody over these alleged events. More details to come in around 10 minutes.
The Monday Sports Review, brought to you by Slater Kia, introducing the new EV6 fully electric SUV with a range of over 500 kilometres. Find out more at Slater Kia Mullingar.
Indeed, your Monday Sports Review coming up in the next few minutes. We'll be looking at the Laois Senior Football Championship, Offaly Senior Hurling Championship, All-Ireland Camogie Final to discuss, and much more besides. That's in around 10 minutes' time. Now, a fascinating picture is emerging in court over how the Gardaí managed to seize €8.5 million worth of cocaine in the Midlands late last week. Courts reporter Tom Chewett has been writing about this. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
So, set it up for us. What exactly unfolded last Thursday?
Well, Gardaí set up his operation centred around the Abish Rule Aerodrome in County Longford. This is to do with an investigation into organised crime involved in the importation of illegal drugs into the country. So the operation was set in place, and it will be alleged that an aircraft was flown from Wednesday from the aerodrome to France and then returned on Thursday. Now, it was kept monitored and it was under observation when it returned. Now, it was also alleged that Gardaí spotted a transfer of heavy-duty bags from the aircraft to one vehicle. And then two vehicles left the scene. Gardaí pursued and eventually stopped them. They got a little bit away from... It wasn't a case of a pursuit or anything like that, but the Gardaí were following them. Mm. And around the Lochool area, Irish Town area near Mullingar, they were stopped. Now, the drugs were seized from one of the vehicles. Now, that vehicle was allegedly driven by a man named Tim Gilchrist from Mavis Bank, New Rath in Waterford. Now he and his co-accused face charges for possession of drugs for sale or supply. The co-accused is a Polish national who's also a qualified single-engine pilot. His name's Michael Luzak. He's 41, and he had an address in Naas. And they appeared at a special sitting of Mullingar District Court on Sunday, charged. And we were told that there was objections to bail when the case of Mr. Luzak was heard. Mr. Gilchrist had made no application for bail and was remanded in custody to appear again via video link on Thursday. However, because the pilot contested the objection to bail. We had a full bail hearing, and this was sent. The guard objections were based on flight risk fears, and that's not to be a pun to the pilot. It's to do with the fear that he would evade justice if he were granted bail. And during the various exchanges in the bail hearing, we were told that the seizure was a massive loss to a criminal group. We were given an outline of the allegations was given in court, and the views of Garnaidh were canvassed about would it be possible to perhaps set bail with conditions that, you know, that you get regularly in serious cases where people have to surrender their ID documents, passport, and sign on regularly at guard stations and have residency conditions. But however, the officers from the Garda detective from the National Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau consistently opposed bail, and
they seem to have some evidence of his movements prior to this alleged incident.
Well, it's mostly at this stage they could only discuss what the flight activities of the aircraft on the day before when it flew to France, and we were also told it's alleged that. When that flight was on its way, it was done without informing the relevant authorities, but nevertheless, it was still monitored. And then it was alleged that the pilot unloaded the heavy-duty bags and placed them in the co-defendant's car. And it's also alleged that when they stopped the car, the co-defendant, the 120 kilos of cocaine was recovered. Some of it was in the boot of the car and some of it was in the passenger seat, the rear passenger seat. But there was none in the car of the pilot. Then we were also told in his solicitor, Paddy McGarry, said that he pointed out that his client has maintained a narrative of innocence throughout the time he was questioned. He's protested his innocence in various interviews. I think there were 5 interviews with Gardaí. And he was trying to draw a distinction of knowledge of the offence in relation to his client. So the case went before Judge Patricia Cronin, and she had quite detailed submissions. We were told that the pilot, there were some concerns raised that he had access to sums, that he had paid about €25,000 for a share in the aircraft. It was a privately owned single engine aircraft, Cessna aircraft, but he had a 1/6 share in that. Now, the defence pointed out that, well, he didn't. He actually got financial assistance to buy his share in it, and he got that from a family member. And in fact, he's been, as a result of the pandemic, he hasn't really been working consistently. We were told he's doing some odd jobs. Initially, he came to Ireland 17 years ago. He was previously a law student, but he moved over here to find work. And we were also told this is kind of at the centre of the defence application for bail, that he has ties to this jurisdiction. He's not just a person who has kind of landed and, you know, here overnight, that he has ties here. His wife lives here. He has children. And he has been here 17 years, so he had connections to the country. And that was the main thrust of the defence argument, kind of pleading for bail. However, Judge Cronin held there was enough evidence to support kind of the Garda view that there would be an attempt to evade justice if Mr. Luksak was released. So he, like his co-defendant, will appear via video link on Thursday again at Mullingar District Court.
Complex picture. We'll keep following it. And Tom Tuse, thank you very much for your time today. 083 30 10 103 on text and on WhatsApp. Now, still to discuss your sports review. So any of the action you may have missed over the weekend in the Westmeath Senior Hurling Championship, also the Offaly Senior Hurling Championship, Laois Senior Football Championship, lots of action to recount. And indeed in other sports, the Premier League, as Manchester United flounder, Liverpool slip up as well. More details coming after these. After 11, author Claudia Carroll appears on That's Life with Brian Cunningham. And she has had quite the experience in love. Her 18th novel is called The Love Algorithm. And she was able to draw inspiration from her own life, including one bruising encounter with, well, not quite the Tinder swindler, but not far off. Time for sport now. David Hollywood is here. And we'll begin with the Laois Senior Football Championship. And it was a very busy weekend, David. Good morning.
Good morning, Will. It was a busy weekend. Firstly, I think it's probably fair to pay tribute to the crew on the inside line yesterday, who brought absolutely fantastic coverage over what was a triple header in Laois football. We had Offaly hurling as well, and of course all the other sport from around the counties, country, and of course internationally. That's obviously Will O'Callaghan and Stephen Bradley.
Yes, they were bouncing around more than a ping pong ball.
Exactly. Joe, Troy, Pat O'Sullivan, they were really at 10 tenths over the course of Sunday. It was great coverage. It was, as you said, really busy in terms of Laois football. Last night, Rose Nallis, were 119 to 111 winners. We stayed with them up until the full-time whistle. That went to extra time and it ran out relatively easy. Winners did Rose Nallis there, 119 to 111. Elsewhere yesterday, there were wins for Park Rathneska against Killeshan and a win for Ballyfin over Emo. In the three games on Saturday, Greg Cullen beat Stradbally. St. Joseph's were winners over Ballyroan Abbey and Clonassee St. Manmans beat Ballylinan. And on Friday, Port Arlington beat O'Dempsey 16 points to 112. Now, Will, that brings us to the present moment in time, which means that we have the draw for the third round of the Laois Senior Football Championship made, as well as the relegation semi-finals. Mm. And
what does it look like?
Yeah, so that was made in O'Moore Park yesterday evening. The third round will shape up as follows. Courtwood take on Rose Nallis, O'Dempsey's against Park Rathneska, Ballyroan Abbey against Ballyfin and Stradbally against Clonassee St. Manmans. They will take place on the weekend of August 19th to the 21st. The quarterfinals of the Laois Senior Football Championship will then take place September 10th and 11th. That is the Electric Picnic weekend, just to confuse matters for people. Elsewhere, relegation semi-finals have been made. Ballylinan will take on Emo. It's Arlais Killeen against Killeshan. And
that's a right local rivalry there, that one. Okay,
exactly. That's obviously the standout fixture of this draw that was made last night. And then the intermediate quarterfinals draw have been made. They take place the same weekend as the third round action. That's August 19th to 21st. The Rockmount Mallock against Ballyroan Abbey and Timahoe against Arlais Killcruise.
Let's move on to the Offaly Senior Hurling Championship.
You have four games in the Hurling Championship over the weekend, both in Group 1 and 2. In Group 1, Burr had a good win over Clody Gales, 22 points to 12 there. But the game of the weekend was live on the inside line on Midlands 103 yesterday. A draw game in the end, but a goal fest that sets up a cracking game in the next round. Kinnishy and St. Ryan has played out a 4-15 to 2-21 draw, meaning that Kinnishy can make the championship quarterfinals if they avoid defeat to Burr next time out. Their manager Dennis Kelly was talking to our commentator Joe Troy after that draw.
Now, you know, the boys said fighting to the bitter end. Didn't look great there midway through the second half. They popped a goal and looked like they were going to pull away. But, you know, there's great heart and leadership in our group. And we knew that. We needed something like this. You know, they know they're there thereabouts, but they need to get these results. And that draw now should bring us on a good bit. But, you know, it'll count for nothing in 2 weeks' time if we can't get a result against Burr. We need a draw or a win in that game to go through. And that's where we want to be into the quarterfinals. So today is great, but we need to knuckle down over the next 2 weeks.
The performances throughout the year, though, have been quite good. Apart from the opening win against Clody Gales, you've been competitive for large parts. This probably will do the belief good to get a pint off probably the best team in the championship, it has to be said. But the thing I would look at it there, every time Ryan has got 3, 4, 5 ahead, Kennedy always had a response.
Yeah, we just said it in the dressing room, like, you know, no putting the head down or whatever else. And we know this at the start of the year. We played Cool Derry here at the start of the year in the league and we got a win and as well, you know. And now they're going to have the championship, so you don't know what's around the corner. But look at the lads. Look, there's a real bunch there. You know, it mightn't be all the greatest of hurlers fight out under back for a Kennedy jersey. And that's what you want at the end of the day. This result will give us a great boost. But we have a lot of work to do now in 2 weeks to get ready for Burr, because we've seen them last night. They were pretty good against Clody Gales.
In Group 2, it finished Belmont 121, Ballinamere 215, Shinrone 116, Kildare 115, and the Westmead Senior Hurling had games on Friday. They've games this evening and in midweek owing to the FLA celebrations over the weekend, and that is, of course, proper order. Lachlan Gales play Raharney and Clonkill. Throw-in is at 7 tonight, Will.
All right, we'll keep up to date on that. And let's move on then to the All-Ireland Camogie Final. Cork taking on Kilkenny.
This was a cracking game. Like, really we've been blessed with the quality of All-Ireland finals this summer. They've been unbelievably early. It's been quite jarring, actually. But that being said, of course, we had great success with the Laois footballers in Croke Park. Now in the Camogie, a cracking final between Cork and Kilkenny. It's the 15th meeting in Croke Park finals for Camogie between these two sides. The first since 2018, where Cork were the winners on that occasion. Cork have actually beaten Kilkenny in five of the last six finals. But this time, it represented success for Brian Dowling and Kilkenny, 113-112. Sophia Dwyer came off the bench to score a decisive and dramatic goal in the 57th minute. Denise Gall, she missed a few frees in the build-up to full-time. That might have felt crucial, but she nailed the winning point from a free when it really counted. And that is a second All-Ireland title in 4 years for the Cats. The 2020 title was won behind closed doors, so particularly special for that panel. And credit to Cork, the likes of Katrina Mackey, Fiona Keating, they were superb, but in the end, Kilkenny weren't to be denied. Their defender Laura Murphy spoke to Aisling O'Reilly after the game and set the scene for us in the dressing room of Kilkenny at halftime.
You look, we said it at halftime, we're either going to be coming in here heads down looking at our boots, or, you know, the Duffy will be in the middle of the dressing room. And just such an unbelievable feeling to be going back into that dressing room now, knowing that the girls would all be jumping around the place, and just delighted.
At halftime, you were level. You had went 6 points clear. At one stage, Cork hadn't scored. You must have thought then going in at halftime that they sort of got a bit of momentum, and, you know, you didn't want to be going in level after having a 6 point lead.
No, absolutely not. But look, I knew myself, as did all the girls, like 6 points up, we knew Cork were going to have a purple patch. And, you know, oh my God, they did. Like, they came back level going in at halftime. And we knew that the second half was just going to be a dogfight. And, you know, it was that. They threw everything at us, and it took everything in us to come out the right side of that, including a little bit of luck at the end.
So let's move on then. Staying with women's sports, the FAI Cup quarterfinal, and the ladies of Athlone giving us more reasons to smile.
They have done indeed, and they've made their own little bit of history here by getting to their first ever semi-final in the FAI Cup after second half goals from Maren Devaney and Gillian Keenan, player of the match performance from Maddie Gibson in Lissiewallen on Saturday. They'll be in Turner's Cross again on Saturday. Not again, I should say. Of course, they were playing in Athlone over the weekend, but the opposition is the same. They take on Cork in league action. And they'll be hopeful of 3 points there. Every game now is crucial if they're going to keep the pressure on the league leaders, Shelburne, Piemont, another one of those sides who are in the chasing pack. They're going to be facing Athlone after the Cork game. That one is going to be on TV. They've got an FAI Cup semi-final to look forward to. So it's really proving to be an exciting season for those following Athlone Town ladies football, or indeed being a part of it, such as Emily Corbett, who we spoke to over the weekend.
This is the first time we've been in this position in the semi-finals. We said that to ourselves last night, obviously going into the Cork game. They're very good. Like, we had a very hard-fought win against them in the league. But like, we couldn't be happier now going into semis. We're one win away from playing in Tala in a cup final. Like, we couldn't be in a better position.
Yeah, and like, when you consider for a fairly young club, I mean, you can give us a perspective about Athlone's growth within the Women's National League, because you joined the club, I think, what, 16 at the under-17 team, and you've been involved now with the team since they've gone up into Women's National League. We're talking about a fairly, you know, young women's unit at senior level within the club, but to have achieved this now, gone into, you know, second year at senior level, to be going into an FAI Cup semi-final is some going.
Yeah, like, I think some people do forget that as well. Like, it's only our third year in the season, and at that as well, I think about 7 or 8 of the players are under 20, and like, it's unreal. Like, it's obviously, it's taken us the 3 years, in fairness, to find our feet. Like, we have to give credit to Tommy as well, because obviously, like, it's been hard because we're so new as well, and we're not only trying to figure out ourselves, we have to figure out the players around us. But yeah, no, like, we've done savage. Like, we've not gone ahead of ourselves. We set out goals to obviously go on a good cup run and like finish around the top five, but we're third now, and like, but every team around us is only within like 3 or 6 points, so like, it could go either way, but obviously we're just delighted to be where we are.
So that's Athlone's women's team. Let's talk about the men, or do we have to recount how steep a loss this was, unfortunately?
It's a kind of Groundhog Day thing here at the moment, as their opposition was once again Cork City, except Cork absolutely getting themselves on the correct side of the result here.
Yeah, well, look, I admire the team for completing the game.
Yes.
It was a hammering, unfortunately.
It's not surprising either, is it? The form isn't there this season. League of Ireland is very volatile. This isn't to say that Athlone Town can't challenge towards the upper half of the table next season, as there's a huge turnaround of players both in the men and the women's game.
True, true.
And they suffered a particular low this season in losing 6-1. But as I said, it can't be a surprise. Elsewhere in the First Division, Galway and Wexford drew. Waterford beat Treaty, and Longford got a good win over Cove on Saturday. In the Premier Division, Sligo beat Bohemians yesterday. On Friday, Dundalk got a big goal towards the end of their clash against Derry in Oriel Park. That levelled things up for a draw, and Finn Harps, they had a big win, 3-0 over Drogheda United. That is the League of Ireland situation as it stands.
Shane Lowry's week began with drama as he was flying to the States. He ended up in one destination. His golf clubs went somewhere else. I think he was Greensboro, North Carolina, where he was meant to be, but the clubs were in Chicago. So eventually he was reunited. How did he perform afterwards?
It's not the ideal preparation.
No, it is not.
A week's golf tournament at the highest level, of course. And he did not fare very well, to be honest. Well, he thought he missed the cut after the first 2 days, but some late withdrawals in the field actually put him into the action on Saturday and Sunday. And with that reprieve, unfortunately, there wasn't much he was able to do. As you were saying, his clubs went from Dublin to Chicago as opposed to North Carolina. Lowry was then on the social platforms trying to apply pressure to the likes of Dublin Airport, Chicago Airport, airlines like Aer Lingus and United Airlines. The clubs got there Wednesday evening before Thursday, but a triple bogey on the last hole of the tournament summed up his week, really. Never got into gear. Interestingly, actually, I should mention the winner actually at the Wyndham Championship in North Carolina was Kim Jo Hyung, very impressive winner and the second youngest ever on the PGA Tour, which is a remarkable statistic historically. Leona Maguire lost her clubs before a major championship, the Evian, and she struggled that week as well, but she was in major action over the weekend in the Women's British Open, and after three average enough days, the fourth and final round, she shot the lowest round of anyone on Sunday to launch herself into the top five, a career best in the majors. Ashley Buhai won the title in a playoff against Inji Chun at Murfield, but that is, at least in an Irish golfing context, not so much a Midlands one, a nice silver lining to what was a tricky week for Shane Lowry.
Cross-channel soccer finally, and well, a couple of years ago, the very thought of Manchester United losing to Brighton was unthinkable. To be fair, Brighton have improved. They're quite a competent team, but Man United are not the force they once were either. So 2-1 the final score there in favour of Brighton.
It's a defeat of historical proportions, and I think most who follow Manchester United over the last 8 seasons or so are getting used to these history-breaking achievements. They're just not necessarily positive ones at all. Much of the focus yesterday was on Manchester. A lot of people would have been curious to see if United could have extracted themselves from this negative spiral around the club. Erik ten Hag is the new manager, but it's the same old United. They were really poor in losing at home to Brighton 2-1. Elsewhere, as I said, focus on Manchester. Man City, defending champions, started their season in uncompromising fashion. Erling Haaland is expected to dominate English football after his move from Germany. Will he averaged like a goal per game? As soon as he started playing professional football, he has been dominant in Austria, then laterally in the Bundesliga, and apparently and clearly going to be the case in the Premier League. City won 2-0 over West Ham United thanks to a double from the Norwegian. In other games, Jurgen Klopp's side, they were held to a 2-2 draw, which was fully deserved by Fulham, and that was at Fulham at Craven Cottage on Saturday. They dropped points already to Man City. I know it's early days. Spurs, Arsenal and Newcastle, they emerged from the weekend with credit with their wins and performances. And a final line on our Republic of Ireland representatives. A few new faces to look forward to watching over the course of the Premier League season. Gavin Bazunu and Mark Travers particularly, two interesting goalkeepers. Bournemouth, Travers started for. They got a crucial win. And Bazunu, it seems strange to end on such a weird down note, lost 4-1 to Spurs, did Southampton. But I have to say, he looked comfortable at this level, as did Travers. And they could be both really good watches over the course of the remainder of what is a very nascent Premier League season.
All right, names to get familiar with. David Hollywood, thank you very much.
Cheers, Will.
Outdoor swimming is being considered as a possible alternative to antidepressants. A study launched by the University of Portsmouth wants participants to look at the impact of ecotherapy, which is the process of boosting mood through nature. Clinical psychologist Dr. Eddie Murphy has been speaking with Midlands 103's Cameron Clark about the potential for this.
Yeah, so it's an interesting study, and what they're looking at, they're seeking volunteers for the impact of in cold water that it can have on stress levels, and correspondingly that those stress levels could act almost like an alternative to antidepressants or to talking therapies. But I suppose I'll just take you back a little bit, Cameron. What's really going on here is there's two separate pieces are going on here. One is there's a really strong interest now in the whole area of ecotherapies, type of therapies that are that are non-drug type of therapies. Ecotherapy is any form of therapy that involves outdoor activities in nature. So what we'd say is the power of the green and the power of the blue, nature-based interventions. And this has gone on for many, many, many years. But I suppose it's really important too that clinical depression is a significant and serious presentation that requires an individual to be assessed by their GP, to have possibly an assessment by a psychologist, that it involves, there are evidence-based talking therapies, such as cognitive behavioural therapy. And what we do know is that the power of ecotherapy, where people involved in an activity that's in a green space, where it involves exploring and appreciating, can have some impact on mood. And generally speaking, it talks about mild to moderate depression, but certainly not severe depression, which is a very different clinical presentation. And one would not, and it's also, it can be a bit disingenuous to people who have depression to say, oh, just get out for a walk, or just get out and do physical exercise, or just get out in nature, or because while it can play a role in maybe soothing a person, it may not be certainly not of itself an active treatment. But this particular study is trying to see, could this act as a particular treatment? And there are one or two case studies out there that would look at the impact of swimming, and I can go through that with you as well.
You've kind of jumped ahead of me a little bit. It was actually going to be my next question. So like you mentioned with walking or physical exercise, do you feel this is probably going to go the same way, that it won't be looked at as an alternative and more alongside your antidepressants?
Okay, so as a clinical psychologist, we don't prescribe medication. And there's studies on both sides of the argument about the benefits of antidepressant medication. There's certainly a lot of concerns now about withdrawals from antidepressant medication. It's really critically important that somebody prescribed medication talks to their prescriber. The psychologist people often come to us. So, no, there is strong evidence for physical exercise, 40 minutes a week, four times a week, for mild levels of depression that can really act as a... So it's not something that... It can be used as an adjunct to existing therapies if people are on them, but also can be used for individuals to manage their mood, because there's a whole, if you want, controversy around depression medication. Like, for example, too often our GPs are certainly overwhelmed and they don't have a lot of go-to and in terms of other alternatives that they can do without long waiting lists. But there are services there, such as the counselling and primary care service that's available to individuals. And also, more often, there's this thing now that's described as social prescribing, where maybe a person has complex needs, and sometimes that social prescribing could be activity-based stuff, or it could be learning skills, and maybe education. There's different pathways, but some of it is adjunctive, and support medication, others can be done in the absence of that as well.
Eddie, in the journal, they emphasise that it's emergent in cold water. Is the fact that it's cold, does that play a part in the swimming?
So this is joining in on other stuff, areas around Wim Hof and the role that cold water immersion has a role in reducing our stress response, and that repeated periods of time that we go into cold water, we can learn, our body becomes adaptive. It adapts to this cold water and this type of shock and this inflammation, and this, and they're looking at maybe there's a crossover between this, it's a crossover, like inoculation almost, that if we can manage the stress of cold water, maybe it can manage other stressors in your life. And they're trying to look at all the different factors along the chain that mediate that. So it's early days yet, that's what I would say. But there is strong evidence for ecotherapy, for being out in the impact of blue spaces. And that's why it's really critically important. And the Midlands, that our canals and our rivers and lakes are minded. And those green spaces like the Cuilte forests and that. And there's some interesting like walking for health and with Mental Health Ireland and Cuilte. And there's some initiatives there with the HSC who've done work with individuals with mental health challenges, walking through the different forest trees around the Midlands. And I personally would like to see a lot more of that type of engagement, and because I think there's such huge benefit, and for myself, in Derry Ounce Lakes and trails around Port Arlington, in between Laois and Offaly, there's incredible walks, and you know, it's about embracing those spaces. I think we learned a lot during the whole COVID period about the importance of these spaces, and it's not to forget that now, that these are the places where we can go and our body can get, we can slow down and show up and learn to breathe and stop and reflect, and that all impacts on our well-being.
And that's Port Arlington's Dr. Eddie Murphy speaking with Midlands 103's Cameron Clark. That brings the programme to a close. And for the month of August, Brian Cunningham keeps you company from 11 to 12 with That's Life. And it's an author today, and indeed former Fair City star, Claudia Carroll, in conversation next.